Your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, Matthew 13. We'll read verse 5 and 6. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Let's read verse number 20. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy received it, and yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Let us pray. Father, again, thanking you for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much, Father, for who you are, your greatness, your kindness to this people. And Father, again, this morning, we need your power. We need your wisdom. I ask you, Father, to do for this preacher what he needs this morning for the task that you've given me to do. Once again, I ask you, Lord, to work in all of our hearts, take your word and do with it as you see fit, that it will not come back void. And Father, you'll accomplish that. We'll allow you to accomplish that which you wish to do this morning in each of our hearts. Thanking you, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Last week, as you remember, if you was here, we preached concerning the first part of the parable of the sower, which was where the seed fell on by the wayside. And it was a trodden down path, a roadway, and the seed fell upon a very hardened portion of the field. And of course, it could not penetrate, and old Satan came along behind and plucked the seed from the path. This morning, we're going to preach on the next section of that, and we're going to talk about the stony ground. I believe these messages are important. I believe we're living in a time where we understand that the seed is the Word of God. The Bible tells us that in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, and it is the Word of God. That's what he's talking about being sown. He's not talking about corn or wheat or something like this. He's talking about the Word of God being sown. We know also that the soil, according to the in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, the soil is the heart of man. And the seed that is being sowed is upon the hearts of individuals. It's upon our hearts. The sower, of course, is anyone who would sow the word of God, that it might land upon the hearts of people. Of course, Jesus being the great sower of the word of God. But we're going to continue now today and look at this, because I believe it's so important. You're here today, so you're going to hear the word of God today. We've already, you know, read some of the Word of God. You're going to hear it. The reason I'm mentioning that, if you'll look in chapter 13, verse 19, says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not," each one of these different soils represented here in this portion of Scripture heareth the word of God. In verse number 19, you just seen that. Also in verse 20, "But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word." Once again, they heard the word of God. If you'll notice in verse 22, he says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word." So once again, and also, of course, in verse number 23, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word." So it's someone who has heard the word of God. What are they going to do with the word of God that they hear? That's what it's important. Over in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, and you don't have to turn there, but I want to read you just verse 11 and 12 to get us started. He says about this parable. Now, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And in verse number 12, "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." And what I mentioned that for is it's all about receiving Christ, believing the word of God, and becoming a Christian. That's what it's about. That's what God wants. And Satan is constantly busy fighting that message and also working on hearts that they not be receptive to the word of God. Believe something. The problem is the soil. It's not the seed. It's not the sower. It's the soil. It's the soil. And the soil is the heart of man. So are we going to allow the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God, to come into our hearts and do something for us? Are we going to allow that? How is it going to be received? That, of course, is the question. And this morning we're dealing, of course, about the stony soil. The soil that is very hard underneath. What he's really teaching about is not just rocky ground. In places, rocky ground can be deep ground and there's rocks there. He's talking about a stony layer of rock underneath a small amount of ground. Now that's, you get that picture. Now, underneath would be stone and a little bit of dirt on top of that stone. That's what he is trying to picture to us. And what he's saying is the heart is hard. There's just a little bit of softness on top of it to receive the seed, but underneath it is hard. That's what he's teaching us this morning. So what happened? Well, it soon sprung up. It soon came to life and sprung up. And what we're saying simply is this: because of the depthness of the soil, the seed was just under the top of the soil. And I think probably that rock further down served as an incubator probably for heat. And the heat, of course, it takes that, it takes moisture, and it germinated and it began, of course, to spring up. And of course, as I said, the depth wasn't very deep. Now, you know, I've always thought about things like that because I've always gardened. I've gardened ever since I can remember. And I've always thought of the strange things. You know, these evolutionists, and they're not too smart. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just saying they're not too smart. They aren't. Because, you know, do you ever think about why a seed is put into the ground and why the root don't come up and the plant go down? I mean, why doesn't the root go up and the plant go down? Well, I'll tell you why. It's God. Understand? You know, if you didn't know, it's God that does that. Amen. Can't you? In that sense, I just got me some green beans planted, and they just started coming up. It would be very odd if I went out there and here was the roots waving at me. Of course, it doesn't do that. Amen. But it sprung up very, very quickly. So, what this is doing is referring to those individuals, because he's referring to the heart of man. He's referring to those individuals that are easily moved emotionally. They're very easily moved at the very beginning. At first, they listen and they hear, and they seem to be moved by what God has said in his word. But it doesn't last. They've been moved by circumstances instead of principle. You see, when the principle of the truth of the word of God gets a hold of you, it's a sure thing. It's not but just because of some circumstance that has happened in your life. They are the kind of people that sign up and make pledges quickly but don't keep their commitments. They take a bite and swallow it but don't chew it. So there's very little digestion takes place. It's just something that happens very quickly. They are like a thermometer, not a thermostat. A thermometer just tells you what the temperature of the air around you is. And it fluctuates. It goes up and down. But a thermostat determines the temperature around you. A person who just emotionally is touched by the word of God, supposedly for a very short time, is not like a thermostat. They're a thermometer. They're just for the moment. It seemed the right thing to do. As I told you earlier, I've been planting gardens and raising, especially tomatoes. I'm a tomato connoisseur. I don't know whether you knew that or not, but I love tomatoes. I've raised them all of my life. I grew up planting them. My daddy was a big believer in garden. I mean, he was a big believer in gardens. And we just gardened all my life. And when I got old enough, I started working for a fellow who raised tomatoes, about 40 acres of tomatoes every year, and I started working for him. One of the things I learned when the tomatoes come ripe, the one thing you do is you never forget your salt shaker. You always carry a salt shaker with you. I mean, really, honestly, I had a salt shaker in my pocket whenever tomatoes come ripe. And I picked tomatoes. I've done everything there is concerning tomatoes. And you go to these places and you buy tomato plants, as I do and as you do, and you put those things in the ground. You look at them. They look like tomato plants. They really do. You think they're tomato plants. You think that's what they are. But that's not the proof of what they are. I want to tell you when the proof is. When about July, you get to put on your pair of bibs and you walk out and you look at these plants and you see that great big red juicy fruit. It is a fruit, they tell me, instead of a vegetable. It's a fruit. And I don't care what it is. It's just good. And you take that big red fruit and you pick it up and you go. And you look at it. And anybody who is a tomato lover has his salt shaker in his pocket. And you pull that out and you lick it. I'm telling you how to do this. Y'all can take note. You lick it so the salt will stick on it. And you then take a big bite of that tomato. In the other pocket, you have a red handkerchief of the juice coming down. And you look down at that plant. I've got madness. I mean, there's meaning in this madness. You look down at that plant and you say, plant, you were truthfully a tomato plant. You know why? Because of the fruit it produced. Boy, I want to tell you something. A plant that don't produce fruit won't last long in my house. Amen? And I just want to say something. If you're a Christian, there's going to be fruit. Now see, I didn't get near as many amens as I got out of that tomato plant. But if you're a Christian, you're going to produce fruit. I'm just telling you, you know what's there. Why? Because of the fruit that is there. And so the Bible talks about here, they could just look at this little plant and it grew up, but it didn't last. We'll find out why it didn't last here in just a few moments, but it didn't last. And you'll notice over, and I'm going to go over to the book of Mark, and to just read a verse of scripture to you in Mark 4:16, he says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word immediately received it with gladness. The Bible even said that this plant here grew up quickly, and he said that's the one who at first received it with gladness. Received the word of God with gladness. Oh, they was happy about it. In other words, what it's saying, is talking about, is the great emotions that they show when the word of God was taught. They heard the word of God. They was happy about it. They received it with gladness. I tell you, there's some people who receive the word of God with gladness. I had a man here 2 years ago, honestly, walked out that door back there after I had preached. Listen to me. Now, I know better than what I'm going to tell you he said. I know I'm smarter than that. I've been preaching for 33 years, so I'm smarter than that. He said, Pastor, he said, that was the most wonderful sermon I'd ever heard in my life. Now, that was 2 years ago, and he ain't been back. And I got to thinking about that, and maybe it was such a good sermon, it lasted him for 2 years. I don't know. But I want to tell you, you know, just words don't get it. No, words don't get it. It's the fruit that is produced. In fact, I want to read you, and you don't have to turn there if you wish to, it's fine, but in the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, I want you to listen to this very closely. 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Said Ezekiel, he said, you know what? They love to hear it. Oh, they're glad to hear it, but they won't do it. Boy, we're living in a time in America when that's absolutely true. The word of God can be preached, but people are not doing the word of God. They pay no attention to it. They hear it, and it sounds like a lovely song to them. Boy, it sounds great. They can walk out the door and say, what a wonderful sermon. 2 years go by, and they've never been back. I'm just saying to you folks, listen, when a person truly gets saved, something happens in them. There's something very special that goes on when a person gets saved, and it isn't just for a moment of time. It's a life-lasting of thing. That's forever. May have your ups and downs, but let me say to you, it's there forever. Over at a church, that a first church I had ever pastored, the first year I was new in the pastorate. I was young and I didn't know a whole lot. Not claiming I know much now, but I'm just telling you, that's 33 years ago. Well, about 33 years ago, yeah. And I began to preach, and in that church I preached salvation, mainly salvation. I didn't know a whole lot of else, but I preached it in some Christian growth. People began to get saved. I mean, people began to get saved, and God was blessing, and the church was growing. Second year, God began to deal with me, and I began to study and learn more about Christian living. And I began to teach on the importance of Christian living and separation and doing right for God. And it was this funny thing. All at once, they didn't want to hear it anymore. It was going to change their life. No, I mean, it was getting into their everyday life. It was getting into their tater patch. And they didn't want to hear that anymore, you see. What I'm saying to you folks, this here can just jump up. This plant can jump up on this stony ground, but it isn't going to last very long. You know, tears and emotions are not certain marks of conversion. It may go along with your conversion. You may have cried and you may have had great emotions, and that's fine, but that's not a mark of salvation. Okay? You may be an emotional person. You may have cried. I'll be very truthful. I did not cry when I got saved. I'm not saying that's bad or good. I'm just simply saying I did not. But I want to tell you, inside, I was stirred and thanking God for my salvation. So just to see someone cry, and it's wonderful if they do, that's fine, that's good, that's wonderful. But that doesn't say he's for sure saved because he cried. Amen? You see, well, so what he says in Matthew, the 13th chapter, the 21st verse, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. And what he's saying is it dureth for just a little while. The Bible speaks, and over in Mark, it talks about immediately. I mean, it was very soon after he had received the word of God that he also rejected the word of God. And the Bible says they were offended. All at once, they were offended. And that word offended speaks of to entrap, to trip up, to stumble, to entice to sin, apostasy, displeasure. They simply walked away because the problems that come with the Christian life is persecution. You don't believe that? The Bible teaches that if you're going to be a Christian, there's going to be persecution come your way. Well, soon after my wife and I got saved, I want to tell you, friends were not the same friends as they were. Family was not even treating us as they did before. You know why? Because we was doing things different. We was living different. We was going to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. We just went to church. Why? Because it was right to go to church. It was the right thing to do. Why? Because God wanted us to. That's what the Bible says to do. So we did that. And so because of that, persecution arises. You get saved. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying there's going to be persecution in your life. You're going to have to take a stand for Christ. Amen? So it says that they just kind of withered away, you see. They received the word of God quickly, but they also rejected it quickly. It went away very quickly. Here's what Hosea says. Hosea 6th chapter, 4th verse says, your goodness is as a morning cloud and as the early dew, it goeth away. He was talking to Ephraim and Judah about this. And he said, you're just like a morning cloud. In other words, it's there for just a little while and it's gone. You're like the early dew. It's just there for a little while and then it's gone. Amen. In other words, were they really saved? No, they were not really saved. They were not born again. And I know that because the Bible says they had no root in them. There was nothing there. So we find also, and let me just read to you what Matthew Henry said about this. Matthew Henry said, it is possible there may be the green blade of a profession where yet there is not the root of grace. Hardness prevails in the heart, and what there is of soil and softness is only in the surface. Inwardly, they are no more affected than a stone. They have no root. They are not by faith united to Christ, who is our root. They derive not from him. They depend not on him. Where there is not a principle, though there be a profession, we cannot expect perseverance. Those who have no root will endure for a while. A ship without a ballast, though she may at first outsail the laden vessel, yet will certainly fall in stress of weather and never make her port. Folks, is your salvation real? Was you born again? Did you truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Or did it just last for a little while? All my preaching life, I have seen people who made a profession. I don't mean they didn't mean it at the time. I mean, they thought they did. Gone. Just gone. You don't see them no more. Don't mean anything. It's gone. That's what he's talking about here. It falls on stony ground. A little bit of soil on top produces a little bit of a stem, and it's gone. Why? Because the Bible says there was no root in them. Mark 17. Not only that, of course, with no root, there's little ground and no water. The water, the sun sucks the water out of the ground very quickly, and so there's no water to produce anything on that ground. Let me read to you from the book of Psalm, please. Book of Psalms, the first chapter, listen to what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, this is the person who walks with God, who believes in God. And they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In verse number 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff when the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, he said they're like the chaff. The ungodly are like the chaff. There's no moisture in them, and they're blowed away. But the Christian, God's people, stands as though a tree rooted down in by the rivers of water. And they're nourished, and they're fed, and they grow, you see. But in this, there's just no depth of faith whatsoever in this person's heart whatsoever. It's a heart of stone. You know, again, the sun comes up, scorches it, the Bible says. Let me say to you, it's not the sun's fault. The same sun that scorches that little plant is the same sun that makes the other plants grow. The problem is they had no root. There was no root there. And so the sun comes up and it scorches. And what we want to do is blame it on everything else. We want to blame it on the seed. We want to blame it on the sower. And we want to blame it on the sun for scorching it. But it's not. It's the soil that received it. It's the heart that received it, you see. And then, of course, over in the book of Mark, the 4th chapter, the 17th verse, and let me again read that verse of Scripture. He says, and have no root in them, in themselves, and do endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And once again, he's talking about persecution that arises because of the word of God. You see, the word of God ought not to offend you. You ought to be able to accept the preaching of the word of God. The scripture from the word of God, it ought not to offend you whatsoever. Amen? Because it's the word of God. But people are offended nowadays by the word of God. And what happens? He says they wither away. They're just gone. Let me read to you from 1 John, the second chapter. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are they many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is in the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. What he's simply saying is this, and folks, he's not talking about someone who leaves a church and still believes the Bible, the Word of God. He's talking about they went away from their doctrine. They went away from their true belief in the Word of God and the doctrine of the Word of God and in Christ as their Savior and Christ the only way of heaven. They walked away, from that. And they done that very, very quickly, you see. They come up, they sprung up, and they went away very quickly. Jesus Christ had the same problem over in the 6th chapter of John. He began to teach the Word of God in such a way that was a hard sayings, the Bible says. And we find that the disciples, the Bible says, walked away and walked no more with him. Why? Because of the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. You see, and so this persecution arose in these people's lives, and all at once they're gone. You see them no more. And I've seen this all my life after 33 years of preaching. I've seen it constantly. I've seen people supposedly make a profession of faith, and all at once you see them no more. They're gone. No more in church. No more walking with God. What's going on? Well, they sprung up, but their hearts was hard. You see, it wasn't softened to the Word of God. Jesus, the Word of God says this in Psalms 119. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let me tell you something. If you're offended by the Word of God, then there's something badly wrong. The Word of God says you ought to love the Word of God. You ought to love it. It ought not to offend you. The Word of God ought not to offend you. A man by the name of Robertson, not Lee Robertson, but let me read to you what he said. He said, their profession of faith ceases. They fall away from the church and their religious activities, which they shortly before were doing so enthusiastically. They depart from the faith, from God, from other Christians. They stand off, lose interest, stop coming to church, drop out of sight. And he says it's a tragic thing to behold these falling away. They seem so promising, so earnest, so enthused, but they do not go long in their profession of faith before they find some occasion to depart. And that is generally the last you will see of them. It is disheartening to the good people at church and to others who have hoped much for these folks' salvation and had rejoiced greatly when these folks responded so enthusiastically. It's a discouraging thing to see people supposedly receive Christ and maybe never ever come back to church again. Never walk on in their Christian life. There's something badly wrong with that. I just want to say something to you folks. Listen, it doesn't have to be that way. If you just allow the Word of God to touch your heart and you say, you know what, I am an old sinner like God says I am. I'm just an old rotten sinner and I need to be saved. God will save your soul. It's all on the soil that the Word of God, the seed falls on, and whether it's allowed to take root or not. See, this morning, if you should be here without Christ, I want to tell you something. God loves you with a love that I can't even explain. It's beyond words that I can even give to you today. His love for you is wonderful. He went to the old rugged cross to die for you, that you might have eternal life. He loves you. He died for you. He wants you to have eternal life. If you'd be willing to receive Christ today and put your faith and trust in Him, He will save your soul and give you that eternal life. Amen? Amen. You see, you don't have to be like the stony ground. You don't have to sit there and be like an old heart that's all stone and just got a little bit of depth of dirt on it. And as soon as He hears it, maybe you think it's good, and then all at once it's gone. You don't have to be like that. You can let it fall on the good ground. On the good ground, where it'll take root and you grow and you'll become a child of God. You'll be God's child and you walk with Him. And when one of these days when death comes, you'll go to heaven and be with Him forever. That's what He wants for you. Amen. We also know, and let me just share with you, we also know, folks, you cannot, it's impossible to go to heaven any other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He loved us so much, He died on the cross for us. Amen. Now, you can't get to heaven any other way. You can't do it on your good works. You'll say to me, I've been a pretty good person. That's not going to get you to heaven. Amen. You say, I'm a church member. It's not going to get you to heaven. Those are good things, but it's not going to get you to heaven. Say, I've been baptized. Well, you're not going to get to heaven by being baptized. You're going to get to heaven by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Admitting that you're just an old sinner that needs to be saved. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a sinner? Have you sinned, come short of God's glory? Are you exactly what God says you are? You're just a sinner? Well, that's what I am. Just an old sinner that got saved by the grace of God. Washed me and cleansed me and washed me from all of my sin and gave me eternal life. Amen. So what we're asking you to let that seed this morning fall upon the good ground. That it'll take root and it'll grow and it'll produce fruit according to the scriptures. All right, you say, Brother Ross, I'm not for sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure that I've ever been a day when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know for sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about it, and I want you to pray for me. And that's what I'll do. I'll just pray. I won't call your name, won't indicate you anything. I'll just pray that God will be able to work on your heart and deal with you this morning. Say, Brother Ross, will you just pray for me this morning? I need to get things right with God. Will you just pray for me? Just lift your hand, please. Just lift your hand. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anyone else, please? Anyone else? See, I just need God to help me. I need to get things right with God this morning. All right, let's pray. Father, yes, thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace, your mercy. And thank you for these dear folk. Raise their hand indicating, Lord, they have a need this morning. And we want you to meet that need, Father. And we know you will. We trust that they'll let you do whatever needs to be done in their life this morning. And then, Father, for those who are your children, help us to be better than we've ever been before. Help us not be satisfied with sometimes our anemic Christianity. Help us desire to walk with God, to serve you and love you and be what we should be. Help us to do that, Father. And then once again, this invitation, and Lord, we turn it over to you. We ask you to work in it. There's needs, Father, this morning. We pray, God, that you'll just work on hearts and deal with them and help them to come to an altar prayer to get those needs met here this morning. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.